We'll have enough. Okay, we continue at the very bottom in Kiddushin Yud Gimel Mabez, 13b, right at the bottom. We're moving now to the Yavama. The Mishnah said that a Yavama is acquired through Bia and acquires herself through Chalitza and the death of the Yavam. That's what the Mishnah said. So basically, the issues that we're going to deal with, we're not going to do it all today, but these are the five central issues. What is the source of the following halachas? What's the source? That a Yavama is only acquired through Yibum. What's the source for that? Number two, that a Yavama acquires herself through Chalitza. What's the source for that? What's the source? The Yavama acquires herself through the death of the Yavama. In other words, everything the Mishnah said, one of the sources for all those halachas. That's what we've been doing the whole time, really. But then, there's certain things that do not apply to a married woman and do not apply to Yavama. We want to know why as well. For example, what's the source that a married woman does not acquire herself through a chalitza? Well, in other words, why don't we just have a woman take the shoe off her husband and then they're no longer married? What's the source for that? We know that's not true, but what's the source for that? Or the reverse, what's the source that Yavama, let's say a woman falls to Yibum, right? That we just can't have the guy give her a get and get her out of the picture, but only a chalitza. So what's the source that she does not acquire herself through a get? Alright, so in other words, what are the sources for everything we said about the Yavama? And then why don't other things apply to both the regular woman? Why does the chalitza apply to a regular woman? Why doesn't get apply to a regular Yavama? Now we're talking about when a woman falls to Yibum. Now, once the man marries her, once the brother marries her, then she's a regular married woman. Then if he wants to get rid of her, that has to be a regular divorce. But why can't he give her a divorce before they get married? As she's falling to Yibum, why can't he give her a divorce?
Who should give her a divorce?
The brother-in-law, write her a get, and then they don't have to be married.
And the name of his brother?
Well, it's the same thing if he gives her a chalitza. If he gives her a chalitza, he's not perpetuating the family. So why only a chalitza? Let him give her a get also. And we're just asking, we'll get each and every one of these, but this is the five issues. We're looking for the sources for the three halachas of Yavam and the sources why we don't say certain halachas as well. That's the issue over here. All right, it'll become more clear as we go through. It's just the overview. So we start with a Yavama Yiknes Babia. A Yavama, remember, let's get the term straight, because I'm not going to repeat. I have to say them in Hebrew. It's going to be too hard to say them in English. When a man is married to a woman and he dies and he has had no descendants, the woman is obliged to marry the fellow's brother if he has a brother. The woman's name is called a Yavama. A Yavama, that's the female who's supposed to get married. The brother-in-law who's supposed to marry her is called a Yavam. And the act of their marriage is called Yibum. Okay, we got that? Maybe I should make it really clear so we don't... One second. Oh man, what's going on? No, that's fine. Okay, let's get it clear. We have three words. Yibum is the act of marriage. This is the act. The act of marriage between the brother-in-law and the sister-in-law. The English translation, for the life of me, I don't know why in English they translate that as levirate marriage. I don't know what that word means.
Levirate marriage.
Just like I don't know what phylacteries mean for tefillin. But there's no English word for it. There's nothing in the English dictionary when a brother-in-law marries his sister-in-law after the brother dies on kids. It's just called Yibum, and that's all there is, and there's no English translation and finished. Okay? Now, so you see how they all have the common root. So now, the man is called the Yavam. That's the man who's supposed to marry her. And the woman who's supposed to fall, and the expression we use is she falls to Yibum, the woman is called the Yavama. Alright? Those are the three terms we need to know. Alright? So the Torah says that the act of marriage, the act of this marriage, biblically, is called Yibum. Okay? It's called Yibum. Right? That's the biblical, and that's how she becomes acquired to him. Right? That there's no, you know, you don't have shtar, kesef, doesn't exist. There's only bia, is the only act that works, and that makes the marriage. If he does not want to marry her, then there's a process called chalitza. Chalitza means to remove a shoe, and she removes his shoe in front of a bezin. It's a whole procedure, and that means, now, again, once her husband dies without the kids, she is not, normally when a woman's husband dies, she's automatically permitted to marry any man she wants. Here, even though the husband died, if there are no kids and he has a brother, right, she's forbidden to marry anybody else. It's an aveira until she's dealt with the brother-in-law. So optimally the brother-in-law marries her with Yibum and they have children. If he would ever want to get rid of her afterwards, he's then their regular husband and wife, he would give her a get. Or if he dies, then she's freed from all that. But if he does not want to marry her, then she is, takes off his shoe, and then they have no relationship.
Her
and,
shoe or his shoe?
His shoe. Did I say? She takes off his shoe, and then the relationship is severed, and then she can marry anybody she wants. But she has that stigma of being a chalitza, a chalutza, chalutza she has received, and therefore she cannot marry a kohen. Because it's like a divorcee. Okay? Now, or if the brother-in-law dies before they're able to do any yibum. If he dies, and there's no other brother-in-laws, then she's free as well. Alright, that's what the Mishnah says. So we want to know the sources for all this. Okay, that's why I want to know the sources. So the Gemara starts off, Bibiya Minolan, how do we know that the Yavama becomes married to the Yavam? Through Bia, through cohabitation. The Gemara answers, Amar Kra, and going to the top of 14a. December 9th. Okay? So, and it's a good thing for us, I would say, to look in the Psukim over here. 25.5. Okay, here's the pasuk. Ki yeshvu achim yachtov. If brothers are living together, umeis achat mehen, and one of the brothers dies, uvein ein lo, and he doesn't have any children. Lo sihi, here's a lav now. There's a negative prohibition coming up here. Lo sihi ye eishas hameis hachutzo leish zor. The wife of the dead shall not marry a stranger outside. Yavama, her, Yavam, the brother-in-law, Yavo Aleha, he comes upon her. Ula Kachalo, and he takes her for himself, Leisho, for a wife, Viyibma, and he performs the activity of Yibum. Now that last line, and one word is what's critical to this Gemara. This is the part we gotta focus on.
Rabbi says the brothers live together. Is that a requirement?
Like, yeah, and it means they live at the same time. Which means, for example, if let's say the brother is the only brother, and the brother's mother is pregnant, and then the brother dies, and the next minute his mother gives birth to a younger brother.
They were
not considered living together. They have to be living at the same time.
Oh, okay.
That's what it means.
So that's considering living alive at the same time.
Okay, now these are the words we have to focus on over here. Now let's look carefully at the words. The first word, Yavama, means her Yavam, her brother-in-law. Yavo comes means be intimate. Aleha, upon her. Thereby, ulekacha, and he takes her, lo, for himself, li'isha, for a wife, ve'yibma, Ve'yibma. And he does Yibum with her. All right? So it's a little bit of wordiness, if you notice, in this pasuk. And what's probably the biggest extra word in this pasuk? Probably the last word, Ve'yibma.
Yeah.
And he performs Yibum with her. I mean, what is the first six words before that doing if not describing what Yibum is? Yivama, Yavala, Kavalisha. So this is the phrases. We're going to come back to this, but this is critical to understand more. So now, how do we know? Now you're looking at this pasuk. How do we know that the woman gets acquired through Bia? Well, which words of this source told me that? Which words?
To perform the duty.
Which Hebrew words? Yivama, Yavo, Alel. For Yavam comes to her. Yeah. Comes doesn't mean coming, it's euphemistic. Coming in the Torah means intimacy. Right? And think about it. Now, you know, part of the source word Yavama also comes from Ba, to come. Alright, so that would seem to be the source. Alright? But now, we've got to look inside and see how the Gemara extracts this out over here. So the Gemara says, Yavama Yavo Aleha Ulakach Alala Isha. That's the pasuk I just read for you. Mm-hmm. 1 second. Let's. Okay. Gemara now asks a question. Wait a minute. How do we know that it means only Bia? Ve'ema, and let's say, Lekula Milsa Ki Isha. Let's say, since it says also he takes her for a wife, maybe it means he takes her for a wife in every aspect, such as he could take her as wife with money, or with a shtar, or with bia. Why would we say it is only bia? Okay, let's take a look at, okay, you know, in addition, because it does say, again, ulakacha lo le'isha. It says, Yavama Yavala, Ula Kakala Isha, he takes her for a wife. So maybe he takes, like any man takes a woman for a wife in all three ways. Why do we have to say it's only, or maybe the Mishnah says, right, the Mishnah says she gets acquired only through Bia. What did our Mishnah say? A regular woman gets acquired Kesef Shtar Bia. A Yavama only through Bia. We're going to say this is the source. We say, why is this the source that only through Bia? Maybe it could be all three methods. The Yavama comes to her and takes her for a wife, just like any man would take any wife in any one of those three methods. So maybe it's any one of those three methods and not just Yibum. That's Gemara's question. To which Gemara answers, no, lo salka daitach, you shouldn't consider such a thing, because there's a braisa that asks your same question and gives an answer to it. Titania, for we learned in a braisa, this exact teaching. Yachol, I might think that a yavama, yehu kesef ushtar gomrim bo, that money and shtar can also finalize the marriage. Kederech sha bia gomeres, but just like bia helps for that as well. Talmud Lomar, but there's an extra pasuk, extra word in the pasuk. That last word I pointed out to you. It says, ve'yibma, that last word, and he shall thereby acquire her through yibum. That last word, the very last word, seems to be extra. It says, her yavam comes to her and takes her for a wife. Finish. What's v'yibma? And he performs yibum. Like, what's that word doing for us? That seems to be an extra word. So if you look at the bottom of the notes there, the repetition is taken to convey that only through cohabitation can the yavama's marriage be affected. And that's what Gemara Braisa completes. Bia Gomerispa, only Bia finalizes her marriage. The Ain Kesef Ushtar Goimrimba. And money and a bill of document does not. That's what the extra word for Yavma, because the word Yavma essentially comes from the word Bia. In other words, why is the word called Yibum? Because Yibum means a marriage that is only constructed through Bia. Is Yibum. Okay, there is some etymological similarities. So the word yibum, which really doesn't have any English translation, the best English translation would be a marriage that can only be contracted through bia. Only through bia. And that's yibum. Mm-hmm. Right? He does bia with her. Yibum. It's that kind of a marriage that is only a yibum. That's what the word v'yibama. V'yibama is teaching us only with bia, nothing else. Then the Gemara says, well, wait a minute. Maybe that extra word is meant to teach us another law that we have. There's another law about yibum that we've had a little trouble with. V'ema, and let's say, that extra word, v'yibma, my v'yibma, what does this last word, extra word, come to teach us? Well, we have a ruling that's unique to yibum and not to regular marriage. De'bal korcha miyam, avyavam may cohabit against her will. And they derive that from the word v'yibma. That extra word teaches us he can marry her against her will. That's the notes say. You know, we have to understand why, but that's the halacha. V'yavam cohabits with the yavama, he acquires her as his wife, even if the act was performed against her will. According to a braisa, it is derived from the word v'yibma. Okay? So, we're already using v'yibma to say against her will. So what do you tell me v'yibma comes say only with bia, nothing else? If we're already use v'yibma for another teaching. We want it to say that the word v'yibma says only bia acquires her, nothing else. But there's another braisa that uses the very same word v'yibma, means and he acquires her through yibam, even against her will. That's what the extra word is saying. So you can't learn two things from that. Gemara says, well, you have to look at it. Sometimes a word is extra, and within the word there's extra stuff to the word. Sometimes the word can be extra, plus the way you worded it. You worded the word more than it had to be worded. We're going to explain it. In Cain, if you want to say it was only coming to teach us he can marry her against her will, then lema kra, the pasuk should have said the word, the extra word of only ve-yi-beim. Ve-yi-beim, which means and he shall acquire through yibum. Ve-yi-beim, as opposed to ve-yi-bema. The ve-yi-bema has an extra oh-hey, which means a little bit more. Not just, and he shall acquire through Yibum, but and he shall acquire her through Yibum. My, why did the Torah say the extra letter in an extra word? My v'yibama, and he shall acquire her through Yibum? That little extra word, that second law, that Yibum can be affected even against her will. In other words, v'yibame, the extra word, that last word did not have to be written v'yibama. It could have just written v'yibame. And he does the act of yibum with it. And he does the act of yibum. And that would be enough. And that would be extra. Yeah, that's extra. That teaches us that yibum's the only way you do it. But why do you need that extra ahay? The extra ahay says he could go against her will. So there's an extra word, and within the extra word, there's an extra letter within the extra word. And that provides us for two teachings. Yeah?
Does that mean that he can force her?
Yeah, we'd have to learn in Yavamas, you know, why that's so, but that's a fact.
Basically,
if she doesn't want, he can force her. Well, it's a difficult halacha to understand why that's allowed, but that's the law.
So he has the right to refuse her, and also to take her by force.
Yep.
And she has no right whatsoever.
That's right. So you know what? You know what? When a woman marries a man, that's why they always say you check the brother. Because you have to realize when you're marrying a man, you can understand when they made shidduchim. Now they looked a little bit into family. Imagine the guy's a tzaddik, he's a talmud. Imagine the man you want to marry is Yaakov Avinu, and he has a brother Esau.
Yeah, that's right.
So you know when you're getting married to Yaakov that should you not have kids, Esau can marry you against your will. Yeah. So you have to know what you're getting into. So if you don't like the guy's brother, you know you're not going to marry him. That's part. If you know in advance, and the parents have to know these rules. So, because you can say, oh no, she has to not get the word, you know. Now, of course, if it's totally inappropriate, the Gemara says the Beis Din tries to persuade him not to do it. Yeah. Obviously, if a woman doesn't want it, the Beis Din tries to persuade him not to, and will try to use as much leverage, and that's why it's called a leave rape marriage, as leverage as properly to say, she doesn't want you. Listen, I say, listen, this makes sense. She doesn't want to marry you, you're going to get married. What's going to happen at the end? Yeah. Right? So, So really, it's from that extra statement we have two teachings.
Mm-hmm. Cases like that today, Rabbi?
No, now we don't do Yibum ever. We only do Chalitza. That's it. We're not allowed to do Yibum. Okay. So now, why did it say this extra Ohei? Shema Minotarti. So here we learn two lessons from the V'yibama. The extra word itself teaches us only Yibum. And V'yibama. The Ohei teaches could be against her will. So now, if we look at the first question, what is the source for the following, that a Yavama is only acquired through Yibum? That was our first question. The resolution is, we learned that a Yavama is only acquired through Yibum from her Yavam will come upon her and take her for a wife, right? And he will do Yibum to her. You have first, her Yavam will come upon her and take her wife. That's the first clause. And then that last word, and he will do Yibum to her. From that last word, we see that Yibum alone works, and nothing else works besides that. All right, let's take one more. It's not too long, the next one. We can squeeze it in. Now, next, Chalitza. A woman is released with Chalitza. If the brother-in-law doesn't want to marry her, she can be released. He gives her chalitza. So Gemara is going to ask the same question. Bechalitza, she can be released with chalitza minolan. How do we know that she goes free with chalitza? How do we know this idea of the shoe business? Again, let's take a look at the psukim. Let's look in verse 7. Okay. What if the man does not want to take his yavam for a wife? So his yavam, the woman, goes to the gates, elazgam, to the elders. And she says to the Beis Din, me'ein yavami lahokim la'achiv shem b'Yisrael. My yavam refuses to uphold a seed for his brother in Israel. Lo ava yabmi, he doesn't want to yibum with me. She goes and says he doesn't want to do this. V'kara lo ziknei rovid ibrlov, and the elders call him, and speak to him, v'amar, and he stands, v'amar, and he says, lo chafatzi l'kafta, I don't want to take her. Okay, so all has to happen nowadays, exactly these words. The woman has to go to court and say these exact words today. The man has to say these exact words. Then, v'nig sh'yivim to'elov, now the brother's wife comes to her, le'ineas came in front of the eyes of the elders, and she removes his shoe from his feet. The yorka b'fan of him, she spits in front of him. The onsen, she responds for Amra. She says the following quote: this shall be done to a man who does not want to build up the house of his brother. All right, and one more thing. V'nikra shemo b'Yisrael. What do we call this brother who refused? We call him Beis Chalutz Hanal. We call him the house of him who has his shoe pulled off. That's what they call the guy. It's his nickname. Yamod Beis Chalutz Hanal Shlishi. Right? The man whose house, whose shoe has been... That's in other words, here it's where she wants to. She wants to maintain the husband's perpetuity. The brother refuses. That's a bad guy. If the guy wants and she doesn't want, that's a whole different story. But here's, he doesn't want. So that's what we call it, Beis Chalutz Hanal. So the question is, how do we know that you're out of this relationship by pulling off the shoe? Well, we have a few possibilities. We have verse 9. Verse 9 says, to me, it's pretty clear, V'choltso nalo me'al raglo. She takes his shoe off of his foot. I mean, isn't that kind of...
So this is like a stigma attached to him from now on.
Yeah, so that's one.
Yeah.
Right? And then two, V'nikra shmo b'Yisrael beis chalutz hanal. And his name is called the house where the shoe was pulled off. These are the only two possibilities here that talk about a shoe being taken off the foot. And there's something called chalitza. So let's see which one Gemara chooses now. Gemara says, Dichsiv, and the Gemara opts for the last pasuk. V'nikra shmo b'Yisrael beis chalutz hanal. And his name in Israel is called the house where the shoe has been removed. Wow. So now here's the point. Why does the Torah have to say V'nikra Shmo B'Yisrael? And his name in Israel is called. What kind of talk? Just saying his name is called. What's this word V'nikra? It's like a bris? Yeah, bris. V'nikra Shmo B'Yisrael Chaim Ben Yang. You know, but here, why are we saying and his name is called in Israel? Just say his name is called. What, where else? In China? Of course we're with Jews. Why say his name is called in Israel? Right? So that's what the Gemara is going to say now. Kivin Shecholetz Banal, once the Yavam shoe has been removed from her, remember, maybe you take off the shoe, she doesn't get married, she doesn't have to marry him, he doesn't marry her, but maybe she can't marry anybody else either. Remember, there's another, remember the whole question is what frees her, what gives her freedom? The Torah only says he takes off her shoe. Does the Torah say she can get married to anybody?
No.
Remember we learned about divorce? When a man divorces a wife, then it's, and she can go into another house. Here we say like this. She's living with a man, the man dies. She's like, okay, what do we do? Now, think of it a minute. Torah says, okay, what do we do is he marries her. What if he doesn't want to? He takes off her shoe. Shkoyach. Who says it? She takes off his shoe. Shkoyach. So who says she can now get married to anybody she wants? Remember, it's very important. I didn't emphasize enough the first time. Let's go back. It says, if brothers live together and the brother dies, it says the line before the blue. It says, she can't marry a stranger. Right? Go back a clause.
Right.
The what? She cannot marry a stranger.
Right.
Maybe that's it. You're finished. You can never marry a stranger.
And if the brother
done. So what do I do? You know what you do? Marry the guy. Okay. What if he doesn't want to marry her? He gives her a chalitza, and then what? Then you can't be married to another man. Where does it say she's permitted to marry another man?
I thought that frees her. No.
So what do we say when we go to verse 8? We call the elders, and he says, "I don't want to marry her." And then he's brought, and he takes off the shoe. Okay, where does it say she can go? It shouldn't say, and now she can marry who she wants. That's the real question. So how do we know chalitza helps that she's free? We know chalitza is done.
Not free.
In other words, the question is, what's more asking? We know this chalitza. Who says chalitza makes her free? That's the question. Okay, she gives chalitza. Finished. Now, where do we see from the Torah she can go marry somebody else? So it says, the Nikra Shmo B'Yisrael, his name is called in Israel. Why does it have to say his name is called in Israel? That's the point. So now it says like this, Kivin Shechos, but now since she took off his shoe, Hutra L'chol Yisrael, she becomes permitted to marry all of Israel. Now she can marry another Jew. Listen, this is how the drasha works. This language is expounded as follows. In Israel, so his name should be called. Be Yisrael, in Israel, meaning for any other male Jew, she becomes fit to be brought into a house as a man's wife once she has been subject to the removal of a shoe. In other words, the whole wording was, isn't the wording very odd?
Oops. It is odd.
The wording is odd to say, let's go here. This Pasuk now, Pasuk Yud. Why is it not helping? No. Okay, the whole thing. V'nikra Shmo, and his name in Israel is called basically. What does that mean? It's weird. So it's saying, V'nikra Shmo, so now in Israel, she has the ability of being a bias. She can be married to somebody else because he gave her the shoe.
I don't understand how they deduce that.
Okay, let's read it again. This language is expounded in Israel, yes. In Israel, be Israel, in Israel, she becomes fit to be brought into a house as a man's wife once she was subject to the rule of Israel. She is called in Israel, she is called base. She can be married into somebody's house. Got to look at them at the same time. She, Shmo, her name, Be Yisrael, she's calling Israel, base. She can, I understand. That's the drush. That's the layer upon the layer. You have the simple reading, and then you got the layered reading. Because the whole simple meaning doesn't make sense. Whenever you have a simple line, when I translate the simple line, it doesn't make sense. That means there's a deeper pshat. And his name in Israel is called the house of the Shuga Pulak. What does that mean? So we're going to all call him up. You're the man. It's very weird. So we're saying, so add a little layer to that. Now she's able to be Yisrael, since we're calling him that, she can now, regarding other Jews, she can have a base, she can have a home, because, and where she is called in Israel, that she can be married. Your problem is you're a slave to the way the English translated it. If I would have I could have put a different English translation, you would have accepted it too. I'll give you a new English translation. And he is called that what? Be Israel. She can now be in Israel as a base, as a home, because Chalutza now, because she pulled off Ishu.
Okay.
So that's what the Torah is hinting at, that because she pulled off her shoe, she can have her own marriage. Right, Gemara's not done with that, but we're done for today. And
what they're saying is she can build now her own house, being freed from...
In other words, he's called the man who gave her a shoe.
Yes, yes, yes.
The shoe went off, and now in Israel, why do we get Israel? Because in Israel, because other men of Israel want to marry her.
Okay.
It's a weird way to say it.
A very, very nebulous way.
All right, we'll continue on Wednesday, December 25th. Christmas morning at 7:20 before the 8 o'clock minion. You'll be in the bulletin, but I'm telling you now. Okay, whatever.
But anyways,
that's the next time. So you're only missing 2 weeks on the dot.